Happy Easter.
We're glad that you're here this morning and decided to worship with us if you're visiting. And Cindy and I are excited to be able to be back down here and worship with y'all this morning for this. I have an interesting question I want you to consider as we begin our sermon this morning. Would you rather go to a funeral or a wedding? It seems like a pretty simple question, a simple answer. Obviously, we would rather go to a wedding. We would rather spend time with people who are celebrating a marriage, and it's typically a wonderful time. We're learning how to present sermons for people and for weddings. And so a lot of the instructors have been talking about it more and more throughout their different classes, and it seems to be a common opinion that all of the instructors would much rather perform a funeral than a wedding. And they talk about all the drama that tends to come with weddings, but they would much rather share a message of the funeral, especially for someone who is a Christian. And I found this really interesting. At first, it sounds, you would think, the opposite. But as they explain their reasonings, and as we're thinking about the resurrection this morning, it makes a lot of sense. And so I wanted us to kind of have that on our mind as we begin this morning. If you'll turn with me to John 11, here briefly, in 25, John 11, 25 to 26, it says this. Jesus said to her, this is as Lazarus died. He's talking to Mary and Martha, talking about Lazarus' death. But it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He's asking this to Mary and Martha as he's talking about raising back to life Lazarus. Today isn't just about hiding eggs or a large bunny, but it's about Jesus rising from the dead. Jesus did not stay dead in the grave. And we kind of have already mentioned that this morning in our communion thoughts, that Jesus did not stay dead, but that he is alive. And so when we talk about funerals at SIBI, the instructors have this look of joyfulness as we as Christians can look at death and have joy, knowing that death is not the end for us. But today, this morning, I want us to look at the resurrection story, specifically the one that's found in Luke chapter 2, or chapter 24. Excuse me. I found really intriguing, and a few things that stuck out to me, and I wanted us to specifically look here to remind ourselves of Christ and his resurrection so that we can remind ourselves of the reason we have peace and the reason we can have joy as we look on to the end of our lives. And so we're going to be looking at the resurrection, but specifically the interactions his disciples and his close friends have in response to this resurrection. So again, we'll be in Luke 24. And so for some context, Jesus has just been crucified. They've buried his body. They put him in a tomb. They wrapped him. And they had the Sabbath the next day. So that was all they could do. And so the women decided that after the Sabbath, they were going to go back out with all their ointments and all their spices, and they were going to properly bury him. They're going to properly wrap him and prepare his body. But as they approached the tomb that next morning, the first day of the week, as it says, they find that the stone has been rolled away. They go closer inspection, they see that the tomb is empty, and then they see these two men outside of the tomb. And that's where we're going to pick up, if you'll join me in verse 3. It says, but when they went in, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and all the rest. I find their interaction with the angels here and their initial response to hearing of Jesus' resurrection really interesting. Because they came prepared to wrap his body. Jesus had them told them that, but still they brought things to properly prepare his body. They brought things to wrap him and prepare him for burial, despite knowing it was the third day and that he was going to rise. Their reaction initially to this makes me feel like they didn't really believe it was going to happen. They heard that Jesus saying these things, that he was going to die, and maybe thinking he was being metaphorical. Maybe he wasn't being literal. And then when he does finally die, we see that they're overwhelmed with grief and with sadness. They didn't expect that he was really going to die, and it describes him as being perplexed, finding his tomb empty. In some of the other accounts, they ask people in the area, what did you do with him? They didn't really believe that he raised from the dead, but they thought that maybe his body went missing. Someone stole it. They had forgotten what it was that Christ came here to do. But the angel reminded them of this, that it was necessary for Christ to not only die, but to then raise from the dead. That he had planned this, that he knew this was going to happen. And he had told his disciples. So then why did they come prepared to rewrap him? If they knew that he was going to raise from the dead, if they'd been told, why did they come to wrap him? To properly prepare him. Obviously, they've been distracted by something. Something in their life caused them to forget that Christ was the Messiah. That he didn't come to just rule physically on earth, but that he came to die for our sins, but then to be resurrected, to conquer death, to bring us into relationship with God, and for us to not have to fear death. He doesn't just conquer sin here. He conquers death as well. But when they remember, I like that their response, as soon as they remember, they leave that place. They go and they're excited and they tell the 11, which if we were to continue on, that Christ died and stopping there. Telling tales and that this couldn't possibly have happened. They don't believe it. It's too miraculous of a thing. It's too great of a thing to have actually happened, and they don't believe it until Peter runs to the tombs and he sees it himself. And then they're all marveling. I want us to continue thinking about this idea of being distracted from seeing Christ. In Luke 24, verse 13 to 18, I want us to continue on looking at another interaction after Jesus raises from the dead. Verse 13 says, "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him." I want to stop right there briefly and just point out that is, I think, important to notice. I don't know if this is a miraculous event that they're being kept from seeing, or if this is just their hearts are distracted. Part of me, similar to with the women, feels like they're not focused fully on what God has done, what Christ is doing in their lives, and what his purpose was, and so they're not seeing him as he should be. And whether it's miraculous or not, I think we today struggle with that as well, is seeing Christ for what he's truly doing in our lives. I want to continue on. Verse 17, "And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here these days?'" And so they start this conversation with who they presume to be a stranger, talking about the Christ, talking about this great man. They knew about Christ. They knew he was. They believed he was a powerful man. They called him a prophet here. Many of the disciples believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And yet, when he died, they lose all of their hope. They lose all of their focus on what he had been doing. How often do we also miss the big picture? This makes me think of mystery movies. I think of a few in particular. There's a series, Knives Out or Glass Onion, are two movies that have recently come out. But they purposely try to make you miss details. They'll put something right in front of you, trying to offer it to you so that you're able to see it, but you'll never really see what's happening. You miss it because the scenes are so, there's so much commotion going on in these scenes. The specific movie I'm thinking of is someone swaps their glasses and in an attempt to try and poison someone, and this person ends up dying, and because of that, because of switching the glasses and no one noticing, this person gets away with it for a while. See, they put it right in front of you. You could go back and rewind it, and you can see him swap his glasses with this person. But because of everything that's happening in the scene, they miss it. Nobody sees it. I didn't see it when I watched this movie. But it was right there. And in the same way, Christ is right there in front of these men. But because of the commotion in their lives, because of the things they're allowing to distract them, to take captive their heart, they're unable to see Christ, even though he's right there, even though it's been put right in front of them. It's being hidden. So I want to ask, do we sometimes in our lives miss Christ, even when he's right in front of us? When we read these stories and we see what Christ is doing, it's right there. It's put in front of us. But are we missing it? Are we missing what it is that Christ has done for us? He's not just died for us, but he rose and he's alive. They didn't recognize Christ right in front of them. They had been taught by Jesus and knew these things and the things that were supposed to come, and they were able to share him with people, even share him with who they think is a stranger, but they didn't even recognize that it was Christ they were talking to. We might know a lot about Jesus. We might be really familiar with the story, but do you know him? Can you see him in your life? Or is he just something that you know a lot about? Something that Jesus says to them is that they didn't believe. Why didn't you believe? Their struggle wasn't that they didn't know enough or that they weren't prepared enough or didn't have the right answers, but it was that they didn't believe in what they heard. How often is that also the case for us? That we know that Christ died for us and we know all these things and we can tell you about where he went and the times he spent in these places and all the different miracles, but do we know him? Do we believe in him? Do we believe in the power that's in his name to save us? I think we can miss that, especially when life gets rough, when we do experience loss or grief or these different emotions and things that cloud our vision, that it's easy to lose sight of who Christ is. It's easy to forget the good things that he's done. I want us to look at the end here. Christ goes on and they continue their walk and they eventually realize that it's Christ. And they go back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that it's true. Christ really did rise. We've seen him. And they explain the story to them. And as they're there with the disciples, Jesus reveals himself and is in the house with them. And when he does that, he tells them these things. If you'll look with me at verse 45 of chapter 24. Verse 45 through 49 says this. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture, and on the third day rise from the dead. Now forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. I want us to stop right there for a moment. Why is Easter and this topic of resurrection so important? It's not because, like we've said, it's not because we like to hide eggs. It's not because we like to celebrate a large bunny that hides these eggs, or because we like candy or anything like that, but it's because Christ really did rise from the dead. Because Christ really did come to earth, and he not only died for our sins, but he rose to give us life. He not only conquered sin to free us from our sins, but he frees us from the burden of death. And so we celebrate that. We spend time in remembrance of that because that is so special. Because that's unheard of. It's bizarre. It's different. Christ is telling them about this. He's opening their minds to understand this so that they can then go and share this message with those who are grieving, who have loss and have no hope. But because of what he's done, because he rose, we have repentance. I like verse 47, and he says that, or just before at the end of 46, it says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name." It's not just because he died we have repentance, but it's because he died and he rose. It's both of those. Both are important and things that we need to make sure we remember and are constantly aware of. He calls them and describes them as witnesses to this event, to spread the word of this. Going back to that beginning question I asked us, which would you rather go to? And all of our instructors saying, and preachers I've talked to saying they would rather go to a funeral over a wedding, is because they're reminded of this concept. When a Christian dies, yes, it's sad, and we grieve the loss of that person, but we know that there's hope past death. We know that there's joy in our death, that it's not sad because we have eternal life. We have the opportunity to live with Christ forever, and it's because he rose from the dead. It's because he conquered death in this act. It's not just because he died for our sins. It's because he rose to live again. And he is still living and still alive, and he is our advocate with God. And that is why we have so much joy looking on to the end of our lives, is because we know that it's not the end when we die. We can look on and know that we can have peace leaving here because it's going to be so much better when we receive our reward in heaven. I want to read for us a verse in Romans. If you'll go with me to Romans 6. Romans 6, 4 through 5. It says this: "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." I love this passage, especially on this topic of Easter Sunday. Yes, it's great that Christ rose from the dead. Yes, it's great that he died for our sins, but what's even better is we can join him in that. It's not just something that he's done for himself to be glorified for us. It's that. But now that we've joined him in that, we have a new life to live. We live now for him, representing him. We've been made dead to sin, but now we're alive to God. Because of this, we have a relationship with him. We have freedom and hope. I want to continue reading in this chapter, verses 6 to 11, as we come to a close. Verse 6 says this: "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Again, we're not only just dead to sin, but we've been made alive. And we have a hope of eternal life that comes with that. And so we can have peace. We can have joy as we look at our lives and as we go through struggles and as we experience grief. Remember that Christ has given us a hope, and just continue to remember that hope as we continue our lives. This morning we looked at Jesus' resurrection, the people that saw it and their disbelief, the things that they let allow, or the things they let cloud their vision, the things they allowed to distract them from what was really happening. We talked about how we too can sometimes be blinded from the joy that Christ is bringing into our lives. We can too sometimes forget the message of the resurrection because of the things in our lives, the struggle, the great promise we have from Christ, the great promise we have from Christ, his resurrection. We mentioned that this had to happen and that he did this because he loves us. He did this to conquer both sin and death so that we can have life with him forever in heaven. So how are you today seeing Christ in your life? How are you seeing the resurrected Christ acting in your life? Are you allowing him to cause transformation to happen in your life? Or are you blind to seeing him and allowing him to work with you? If you've not put on Christ in baptism, we want to encourage you to do that this morning. We want to invite you to come forward and talk with somebody, because this is a great hope that we have and that we are able to take part in. And we want to extend that to you if you've not done so already. But if you are and you are struggling with seeing Christ in your life, if you've already put on Christ and you're struggling right now, and things and the struggles and sufferings of life are weighing you down, and you need prayers, we want to invite you as well to come forward as we sing.